Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Today's episode of Two in the Think Tank is brought to you by flowing on a river of magma. Mm-hmm. Magma, our comedy festival show at the current
comedy festival.
Incumbent comedy festival.
2019.
The comedy festival of that year at Melbourne.
Yeah.
Melbourne International
Buy
Comedy Festival.
Buy tickets immediately.
Because
there are only 13 shows left and you're running out of time.
Yeah. And I would hate for you to die in general, but also without seeing this show.
And we'd like to present somebody else who has a show on.
Yes.
Matt Stewart.
Matt, welcome onto the
Thank you so much.
The podcast.
Oh, I feel so. I haven't been on the Bit Before the Podcast before.
Yeah, this is the real podcast as far as I'm concerned.
Love the pre-show. Let's get pumped up.
Do you have anything to plug, Matt?
I've always got too many things to plug, but I'd love to plug
You're
my show.
You're a gusher, aren't you?
I'm a gusher,
yeah.
I'm a big-time squirter.
That's fine. This is the kind of stuff you can say in the pre-show.
Right.
That wouldn't be acceptable on the show.
That's why I need so many plugs, yeah. I guess. That was your point.
That was my point, yeah.
I thought I'd come around and have a go myself, because it looked like fun when you did it. the show that I'm doing at this, The Incumbent, which means that it could be voted out.
Sure, at any moment.
At the moment, it's still The Incumbent. I haven't called an election as yet, but I'm doing a show called Bone Dry to the Chinese Museum, 7 o'clock.
Funny to describe you as Bone Dry, because you're such a gusher.
I'm a gusher. That's the ironic nature of the title. The show features Alistair Trombley-Birchall and Andy and Al.
In voice.
Sorry.
That's okay. Which
But the listeners of your show, that's how they know you.
He's saying he's going to send you an invoice.
Oh, no.
For that little bit of pre-recorded audio that he did for the show.
I've got him in multiple times, so he really... Yeah, I'd hate to know what that invoice is going
to say. This is a great plug as well to get people in for the podcast, because you're basically telling them that if they go along to this live show, they'll be able to listen to Alistair's pre-recorded voice, which we know, because they listen to this, is a thing that they love.
Exactly.
Yeah. If anything, they won't like magma, because that's my voice and it's not pre-recorded at all.
We did consider pre-recording all of Al's parts and having him lip sync.
I would still fuck it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, should we go into the music?
Absolutely, we should. I really like the bit where you came in, Matt.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
You pulled it all together.
I had to force him using peer pressure.
peer pointing pressure. But I don't want to step on anyone's toes.
Normally,
when I come on here, I just like to sit and watch you guys work.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very nice.
Just nice to be close.
I guess
we
could just live stream and then you could buy a subscription service to the stream.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Now, when people say take a long walk off a short pier, you know that expression? Yeah. You don't need to take a very long walk. Like, it's pretty much the same length as the pier. Like, it's one step longer than the pier.
Right.
If it's a short pier, you're taking a short walk. I mean, if the walk we're talking about is the walk off the pier, then it's barely a walk at all. It's just step off a pier, isn't it?
Are they talking about walking into the ocean? Like, once it's the long walk beyond the pier.
Sure, but that implies that the pier is in such shallow water that you could fall off the end.
Or maybe
carrying a big rock, okay. And then you walk on the ocean floor further out to sea, carrying your big rock.
I have a feeling they're suggesting that you are drowning yourself.
Yeah, is it one of the few socially acceptable ways to tell someone to kill themselves?
I think so.
Because that is a pretty common expression.
Really? Definitely the first time I've ever heard it, but it's pretty common.
Is it an Australian expression?
No.
You've only been in Australia for, what, 20 years?
Yeah, for 21 years now. It's one of those ones that shows up in your 22nd year.
Maybe they didn't get that one in Canada?
They don't get it in this part of Australia.
Right.
The part that's around me.
Their 1 meter radius.
Yeah. I think there's probably a bunch of socially acceptable ways to say, I hope you die.
Well, I think that on Twitter, saying delete your account is basically saying kill yourself, but in Twitter terms.
Right.
It's the equivalent of, I want you to cease existing in this reality.
Yeah.
Long walk of short pier is that.
I want you to stop existing in this dry reality.
Build a bridge and get over it.
Yeah.
Halfway over it and then jump off.
Jump off. Yeah. Like the Westgate.
Yeah.
What's that dry reality one?
Is
that a fake one?
That was just Matt riffing off the concept of, I want you to stop existing in this reality.
Oh, in this dry reality.
That's the dry land. Okay. That's the drier land that we are currently in.
I thought that was just another common saying.
It is now.
Another way is, I want you to get off this platform, which is, you know, Twitter, but then jumping off a bridge is getting off a platform.
Once you get off this platform, it's a train station.
De-platforming people is a really accepted method of, like, removing the mouthpiece given to the far right on social media, on YouTube, on... when they get to do a speech at a university or something. Mm-hmm. But it's also a way you can push somebody in front of a train. Yeah.
De-platforming.
I've taken de-platforming to a whole new level.
To take away their mouthpiece, like a sort of an alt-right person's mouthpiece, in real life is actually just to take their mouth.
Or their trumpet.
Yeah.
Little bit at the end of the trumpet, which I don't know if you need that really. You could probably just blow into the pipe. I don't know a lot about trumpets.
No, I think that shows a real misunderstanding of the trumpet. Do you think it's just blowing that they're doing?
Blowing?
Yeah, isn't that what you said? You can just blow?
Look, I have a theory that the trumpet, that maybe more the trombone is really just, you're just pretending.
Well, you're making the sound.
You're just making the sound.
So you take the trombone away and you're still going...
I reckon,
But you are kind of pretending to make the sound by going like this. You're going... Like that.
Is that really what it is? That's the sound you're making.
That wow,
Alistair, that was remarkable. That was a lot like a herd of elephants.
Yeah. And then this is going to be more like an F1.
You're a man of many voices.
I'm the man of many lip vibrations.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've made your lips do three different things.
Yeah. That's pretty
good. Do you have any more?
It was a farty sound. Yeah. It was an elephant.
Can you do the cheeky chimp?
What's the cheeky chimp?
Yeah, that's a cheeky chimp. No, that's a kissy chimp.
Oh, kissy chimp.
Horsey chimp.
That's a
loose anus.
A loose anus. Anyway, we've got to move on from this.
We do?
Well, that's the first sketch down.
But are there any sort of full lip-based languages? What if, like, there was a civilization that never discovered the voice box?
The voice box, they did all their articulation using only the lips. The lips and maybe the teeth, right?
Oh,
I wasn't expecting that to be so visceral.
I would have
thought that normally the mouth sounds that people are uncomfortable with are the wet ones.
No,
but this is just a bit of a clip clop.
Yeah, I think if that's just one step away from hearing crunching.
It's like, bone on bone, isn't it? Yeah.
And also, if people did speak in that language, then particularly with the wear and tear on your teeth from speaking like that, you would quickly lose your ability to speak over as you got older because you would break your teeth and.
Well, maybe we'll just reserve those things for really...
Special occasions,
birthdays. Birthdays, yeah. Or words that we don't use all that often. Or sort of hate speech, maybe.
Oh, right.
So once again, this is the thing we're big on in this podcast, is consequences for people's actions.
Yeah.
And if all hate speech had to be done with teeth, smashing teeth, it would also mean that the elderly who lose their teeth would lose their right to be sort of racist. Which is probably good. I think those two things probably coincide quite nicely. and it'd mean that racism is left to the young.
Yeah.
You know, the people who... Exactly.
Well, it's based fresh more ideas. On... It's more of a current racism rather than an out-of-date
right.
racism.
I think... Well, look, that is probably all that our awareness of racism is in our section of society. Mm. It's just like, we notice the stuff... You notice when your parents say something racist?
Yeah.
But you probably... Like, whatever the kind of... That we do without realising it in, you know, in our youth, state of youth, we obviously don't notice, right?
Yeah.
But when your parents do it, you're like, oh, you're doing old person racism. Oh, I'm really uncomfortable with that. We need this new one that we've discovered or not discovered, which just flows out of us.
Like seeing your parent with like an iPhone 3.
Mm.
You go, yeah, oh, it's so embarrassing.
Racist.
Put it away.
Yeah.
I can't picture your parents being racist.
Great. Don't. And I'm not suggesting that they are in any way. But there are things that are just part of older people's vocabulary and older people's way of interacting and that sort of thing where you're like, oh, I clearly know. I've had the firmware upgrades and this is no longer compatible with my operating system.
Say, for example, like, I used to have an aunt that if we went into a restaurant and there was somebody who, from a particular continent, they would bow.
Yeah.
You know.
So that kind of an
that
example.
Is that not on?
Hey?
That's not on?
No, I think, I'm not sure.
I need to get a firmware upgrade.
Yeah, you need a firmware, they would bow.
Yeah, Europeans always bow to them.
And my parents, whenever they go into a place where there's all these people from the 1800s, they always curtsy.
Yeah. Once she goes to the Gold Rush.
Yeah.
Goes to, what's that place in Victoria? Near where you live, Andy, I think.
Sovereign Hill.
Sovereign Hill.
Sovereign Hill. That's one
of
our
curtsying out there.
Victorian tourist attractions. Yes, you can go along, you see people in old dresses and stuff, and they sell you boiled lollies and whatever. You could pan for gold in a little trench there where they apparently seed a little bit of gold, which is amazing. They put little flecks in there, so there's always something for people to discover.
And if you don't have the patience for that, you can just buy flecks in the shop.
Sure.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's really nice. I mean, is gold just isn't that valuable, is it?
Gold is not that valuable, no. Like, that's one of the noted things about gold. Yeah,
but it's not that valuable. But like, is there one of those kind of like Sovereign Hills type places for like mining uranium or mining
platinum
or sort of like what are the germanium? What's one of these ones that like are a very specific one that you need for like making an iPhone? They're always like
probably germanium.
Yeah, germanium. Yeah.
There is another one, isn't
from,
there?
Like, that are like from like,
the Congo. Is that we only can get it
like
from the?
It's the only place where you can get
Congo.
You know, it's like that.
Adamantium.
Vibranium.
I think you've gone into the Marvel universe.
Unobtainium?
That's probably what it is. Yeah.
Anyway, it's one of these ones. So I just picture it's like this, and everybody has to get dressed up like...
Like a sort of a slave child or some kind? Yeah,
is this not is this a poor taste?
Well, I think the mining uranium one is quite interesting.
Okay,
like,
great.
I like the idea that you go along there and you get in some sort of radioactive suit and you get to go through the process of decontaminating yourself. And, you know, ye olde uranium mine.
Go through ye olde eye wash. Yeah. Like just, you got some radioactive material in your eye.
Yeah, and then you got like the... Because in the Gold Rush ones, there's little old schools. So you'd go to the schools where all the kids have mutations.
Yeah, great.
That could be fun.
Did you watch The Dark Tourist?
No.
On Netflix? Oh, he just goes to some part of... He goes to some part of Russia where they would test a lot of nuclear weapons. And him and another guy, it was mostly on the other guy's recommendation, there's this lake that's basically was made by the Russians testing this huge bomb in the ground. And they're like, oh, let's go. And the guy's like, come on, let's just swim in it. Like that, and they swim in it.
And he just does this.
And they just do it. And it's just kind of a little, you know, it's a little muck around. But then later on somebody takes them to like an orphanage where kids are genuinely just deformed from...
From swimming in the lake?
Not from swimming in the lake, but from living in this area and from things like that. And then they go, oh!
A little lake swim isn't so fun no more.
Yeah, it doesn't really seem... I mean, we were being a bit cheeky before, and now I feel like a bit of a dickhead.
Oh, was there like a look on their face kind of moment where they...
Yeah, yeah, where they both kind of were like, sorry about being so...
That's what it is. It is tourism. I mean, it's in the title that you are just sort of going and being like, oh, what would it be like to live in your crappy corner of the world? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, back home. See ya.
Yeah.
You know, but, oh, I had a tough time getting here as well. You know, they don't let you carry on luggage.
Part of dark tourism and going into it is also feeling bad.
Feeling bad about the fact that you are doing
this. We're feeling good.
And you're feeling bad about the fact that you're going to feel good when you go home.
Yeah, you're going to be like, oh, that was a great trip. Mm. Had a really good time. It was very exciting.
I got to make a TV show. I got paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's the guy, the tickle guy. You know the tickle guy? Do you ever watch Tickle?
Elmo?
And we're back!
You know, I went. You're talking about this as it's a pretty wild idea, the uranium goldfields thing. I went on a similar thing as a kid. I went to Hazelwood coal-fired power plant on their open day. Got little show bags. Got to take home bits of coal.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow.
That would have been like in the late 90s.
That feels like a parody of a Willy Wonka situation.
I didn't like at the time. I was just like, oh, it was an outing, a bit of a fun day with the family.
My God.
We went there with our family friends. There's photos in the hard hat.
Wait, it was with the family?
Yeah, we all...
So it wasn't like a school thing? No. We're going to learn where electricity comes from. It was a Stewart family outing. Let's go down to the Hazelwood power plant and get a little bag of coal for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, I mean, that puts a lot in perspective. You've grown up remarkably normal then, haven't you?
Yeah.
We were visiting our friends out in Maui, and that was, not too far from there. So I was looking for things to do, I guess.
Wait, Hazelwood, and is that brown coal
Coal, yeah, I think we got brown coal and black coal to take.
Was the brown coal a bit damp? Or did they pre-dry it out?
I think it was pre-dried, yeah.
Wow, because, you know, they have to put it, you have to... One of the reasons brown coal is a bad fuel is because
it's wet.
It's wet, and so you have to expend a lot of energy just to dry it out.
Right.
Mm. You know.
What about clean coal? They didn't have any at the time.
They didn't have any right now. I think a lot of the places are finding it quite hard to clean the coal.
Because it feels like the dirt that is in the coal goes all the way through the coal.
Yeah. Yeah. That blackness runs deep. Yeah. Especially the fact that it's 100% carbon. It's almost, it's like maybe 90%. Is there
it's 100% coal.
Yeah, it's 100% coal, but coal is mostly carbon, right?
Right.
And I would assume that's where the black colour comes from, Juju.
Yeah, I imagine it's somewhat, yeah. I mean, it'd be hydrocarbons of some kind, right? It'd be like...
Oh, I guess so. You know? Oh, dense. Do you think it's like sort of like a... You know how as you get a cruder and cruder oil, it gets thicker and blacker and things like that, and so at some point, does it just go coal?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's frozen oil. Is that what coal is?
Frozen oil.
Frozen oil.
That makes sense. Mm. It is oil. No.
Is there something in the idea of, and this is probably nothing at all, but like we were talking about going to a restaurant of a different culture where they serve the cuisine of a different culture. Look, I'm saying, this probably just already exists and it's boring, right? But like going to a restaurant where it's the 1700s and you can order the foods of the 1700s and... you know,
slop and stuff like that. Is that anything?
Yeah,
like
bowl of slop,
sort of like, yeah, and
warm slop, cold slop,
and yeah. I mean, I guess the real benefit would be like getting sick and things like that.
That'd be the real benefit.
Like, you go, oh, this is old school sickness. Yeah. Sorry, my old school.
There's
sick.
Rats running around.
Yeah, and then oh, like there's that risk of sort of. You know, like, at what point do rodents start nipping at you? You know, like...
They gotta be pretty hungry, I think.
Yeah?
Do you think that if we had time travel and we went back in time and people started to emigrate from periods like the 1700s, they would open up their own cultural restaurants? There'd be, like, a section of Melbourne where, like, a lot of people from the 1700s moved in there and now there's a lot of 1700s restaurants and you want to go there. Oh, master! Oh, yeah, I'll get you a pot of old boiled cabbage. Here you go!
Yeah.
You know, and you get, I love their boiled cabbage. Let's go get some boiled cabbage from the 1700s district.
Okay, so, like, and so then like
time
Chinatown.
Will start to be... dimension of space, See, because you drive to the 1700s, and it'll be called Little 1700s.
I mean, that does, or a 1700s town.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, I reckon probably quite a few people from the sort of the 1800s will end up working in 1700s town.
Right.
But just because from our perspective,
they all look the same.
Yeah, we're like, oh, you're old. You're from one of those times. You've got a bonnet. You've got a ruff. Yeah, whatever. You know, it's weird headgear.
Sorry that I've made that.
No, well, I mean, it was what I was sort of tending towards anyway.
Yeah, but that's new school racism.
Yeah, see?
they were a lot slower with fashion back then, weren't they? Like, it'd be... Mm. Talking about now, it's like 90s fashion, but back then it was the whole century had a fashion.
Totally, yeah. It feels like it ebbed. Like, it was like continental kind of speed.
Yeah.
But I guess... And, you know, which tied into the fact everyone's just so poor and you would wear clothes just for as long as they lasted, probably. Which feels like what I'm doing now, but my clothes just don't last that long.
I think after the Roman Empire, like the Dark Ages or whatever, one of the things that caused that is that all the countries gave up on currency again.
Right.
I think they like got rid of like coins and things like that. And so you went back to sort of a trading system,
just
bartering.
Barter.
Like, well, it's just like, I've got wheat. Can I get some thing that isn't wheat, please? I'm so sick of eating wheat.
Have you got not wheat?
Yeah, please. Like that. And so then...
milk.
And then you couldn't...
Can you get some milk for wheat?
You could only pay people on your farm in wheat or whatever like that. You couldn't go back to paying people.
But also, I guess, then all the... things that are truly valuable, which are probably just foods, right? They have a very short lifespan, so there would be no concept of, like, savings or investing or anything like that. It would just be like, how can we survive another 3 days?
Maybe Charlemagne.
Charlemagne.
I think Charlemagne might have brought up money back.
Yeah, right.
That was Kylie Minogue on Neighbours.
Yeah. Is that what her name was?
Maybe that was her name.
Like her first
Scott
name?
Scott and Charlemagne, yeah.
What is it?
Scott was Jason Donovan and Charlemagne was Kylie Minogue, I think.
Wow. And would people call her Charlie or something? Or?
Something like that.
Wait, her full name was Charlemagne?
Was
it Charlemagne? Because that sounds like an Aussie name.
Oh, maybe it was Charlemagne. Yeah, maybe it was Charlemagne.
Charla. I mean, it's funny because Sharla does sound like a very Australian name.
It does.
Get over here, Sharla.
Yeah, Sharla. But I've never met anybody called Sharla.
Oh, that's great. We should come up with new Australian names.
Is that the dead Aussie name?
Could be. The great undiscovered... Imagine if names are like elements on the periodic table, right? And they're all out there just waiting to be discovered. And where you can detect where there's a gap on the periodic... So this is when they first came up with it. When Dmitri Mendeleev came up with the first periodic table, you'd see there were gaps, and you're like, I reckon there's an element going to be there, and people would go looking for it and be like, found it, goes in there. So maybe we could come up with a periodic table of Australian names, and we could identify where the gaps are, and I reckon Sharla is one of them. We'll bring that
into
the...
goes between Carla
and... Sheila.
Charlotte.
Sure.
And Sheila. Yeah. What do you think, Matt?
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I'm trying, what are the classic Australian names? Barry? Bruce?
Merv?
Mervin. Yeah, Merv's great.
Suzette?
It's a way to cut carrots, is it?
No, that's
Julienne.
Julienne.
Yeah. For every woman's name, there's actually a way to cut carrots. That's another one. Another rule.
For every... But, like, Julienne already feels like it's the female version of Julian?
Yeah, right.
Maybe it's just I haven't met any Juliennes.
Yeah.
Julian.
But like Simon, Simone. Mm. You could Simone these carrots.
Yeah.
So for every female version of a male name, there's a way to cut carrots?
Yeah.
Diane,
I'm
going to
Denise them this evening.
Brianna.
Brianna.
Yeah, I'm going to Brianna these carrots.
She Brian.
Because it was what you do, sort of like the superhero version of feminizing superheroes. So you've got either you change boy or man to girl or woman, or put she at the top, right?
Yeah,
She Hulk, She Brian.
She-Ra? What's She-Ra? She-Ra?
I think that's. She-Ra? Is that like a He Man?
Could be, yeah.
He Man character?
But then that implies it would be a male Ra.
Well, there's
the god of the sun?
Yeah.
Or just the sun?
I think it's the god of the sun.
God of the sun, right. Yeah. You can put S at the end as well. Tigress. But I digress.
I digress. really yeah, so I mean, like, Captain America-S. Yeah. Captain America-S.
Captain America-her?
America-her.
You've come with, that's a new way. In the periodic table of yes. ways to feminize superheroes, that's a new
I've
element.
I've discovered yeah. a new element, yeah. the what? Element of disappointment.
Periodic table.
So you wrote down the periodic table of Australian names?
Yep.
Great.
I think, yeah, it's fun because none of them are actually, like, they all would be from English names, right?
I wonder if there's any truly Australian names. Like Sheila.
Yeah.
It does feel like, I mean, who is calling someone Sheila in a different country?
What about Matilda? Is that only because of Waltzing Matilda that it seems Australian?
Yeah, but remember Roald Dahl had that book Matilda and he was English.
That's true.
And therefore I Tilda have found Slutton. Evidence to disprove your hypothesis.
No, but okay. I mean, he did write that after Australia was founded.
That's true. Yeah. Yes. So it might have been something that was brought back from the colonies.
But then also there would be some actually Australian names in all the indigenous names that...
Of course.
...that existed. And so we'll...
Which, I mean... Are any of those being brought into the broader culture? Would that be problematic? Probably.
Look, I don't know. I don't
They're
know
not on the table in terms of, like, anybody can grab these names.
Yeah, why is that?
The thing is that I wouldn't even be able to...
Tell you any
Tell
of
you
them.
Any names.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, a lot of place names in Australia are.
Sure.
So if you start... And,
things
and
like
place
Bennelong
names,
and...
Moorabbin. But also, you know, a lot of... People's names come from place names like Paris and Sydney and Bendigo. Bendigo's probably an indigenous name. I don't know any Bendigos, to be honest, but
Wagga.
Maybe that's the entryway in. Is from
you go place via name. Geography?
Because like no names, like there are. Yeah, why would that be an issue?
This is
a big question that you probably don't have an answer to, but.
But I'm glad you brought it to me, Matt.
This is the place to discuss it.
Is Woolloomooloo a...
Love that.
Is that an indigenous name?
I dare say it.
Because that's one of the funnest things to say.
Woolloomooloo.
And I think to give somebody the gift of calling them that as their first name or middle name...
Woolly, for short. That's good. Woolly.
That is a good Woolly. It's a nice name.
Yeah, I don't know any Woollies.
Hey, Woo.
Woo.
Because I think Woo, it's been hard to justify calling a white kid Woo. Up
it
until
has.
This point.
But now we've
But
found
now
a
that
way.
We've got, you know, Woolloomooloo.
Yeah.
You know, at least middle name. So that's what sometimes if I'm, you know, just play acting with my beloved and we talk about, you know, names that we could give children. You know, anytime something's a bit too wild, we go around, it could be a middle name though.
That's great, you isn't know? It?
Because I mean, even this like Mark Woolloomooloo Smith.
Mm. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
The middle name is a lot like a little Easter egg, isn't it?
Mm.
Like because it's you might not discover it in somebody's name until years after you met them. You're like, oh, and here's a little bit of spice. I've had a secret extra name that you haven't known about this entire time. Yeah. It's been there.
My cousin's middle name. So his mum was born a Stuart, but she married into another family. Changed her name, so her first son...
This already sounds like something from some ancient tale.
It is, I mean...
She was born a Stuart, and yet she married into another man.
I mean, it is. I guess it was a different... This is like before, you know, this was in the 60s or 70s.
Oh, okay,
70s,
right. It's a different very different time.
But, so she named her first kid Stuart, middle name Mascherini, which was her mother's maiden name.
Mascherini. Masher.
That's maybe the... Yeah, Masher. Oh, so good.
Like, that's one of those ones where today, I reckon, the couple getting married would look at the two names and be like, well, we're not getting rid of Mascherini.
Yeah.
Like, we're ditching the Stuart.
Yeah,
we'll take...
totally. I could have been a Mascherini.
Yeah.
And then I wouldn't have had to always tell people that I'm 1/8 Swiss Italian. They just would have known it.
Yeah. You're a 1/8 Swiss Italian.
Yeah. Well, so there you go. If my name was Mascherini, you wouldn't be questioning it.
No, I wouldn't be questioning it. I'd be constantly calling you my Swiss Italian friend. My 1/8 Swiss Italian friend.
My 1/8 Swiss Italian friend, Matt Stuart Mascherini.
Actually, no, it's not one. It's 1/4, isn't it? Because you got 4 grandparents.
Yeah.
I've been underselling it.
Yeah.
My God. I mean, unless that grandparent is
We've
only half.
We've just discovered another 1/8.
Right. But maybe I'm saying I'm 1/8 Swiss, 1/8 Italian.
Sure.
Then that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a quarter Swiss Italian.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, if you want to bring brevity into it.
No. I love the idea
brevity?
Of just...
Brevity.
Am I saying that right?
Brevity, beautiful name for a girl. Brev for short, or for brief.
Yeah, brief for short. Brevity.
Well, brief for short.
I mean, it's a weird, like, a literary stripper name.
Brevity.
Brevity.
Brevity, she's only out there for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
She just wears one sort of a one piece, rips it off, and walks.
Those sort of old school basketball pants with the buttons.
Yeah.
Done. Thank you.
Brevity. Yeah. I'll be brevity.
And good night.
Yeah. Or they could be like 4 foot tall.
Yeah.
Do you think is that mean? I mean, you got to really pick it early when you're naming a baby that you think they're going to be really short.
Feels like, though, brevity doesn't, to me, imply a short child.
Mm.
It implies to me one who is very sort of lacking in depth, you right. know, between the front and the back, there's only a couple of inches. Because
yeah.
when I think of a brief person, I think of somebody who, when walking past, would pass you very quickly.
Yeah.
A flat
brevity.
Person.
I see. Well, when I think of brevity with regards to a person, I think about how fast they would go by on a sort of a water slide. And so that's, I think, more of length like that, of, from head to toe.
I right. think of sort of life expectancy, so I'm thinking more like a rock and roller.
Yeah.
You know, someone who might join the 27
yeah.
club.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Or I think of sort of a troubled teen. Yeah.
Child actor.
Child actor, yeah. Mm. All right, now we've gotten to a point where we've ground to a halt, but we've got a few ideas. But I think we need to continue.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's grind to a start again.
Yeah, let's grind to it. So I'm thinking, what about like using knives as a way of moving faster? You know, let's say if you were on a sitting on a skateboard because you didn't have any legs.
Yes.
Like that, knives would be a great way. Like, let's say
stabbing into the ground,
sort of like ski poles.
Well, it's what you're describing, really. I think if you were to develop this technology, you'd wind up basically with the ice pick, right? Because the ice pick is basically a knife hammer that you use for climbing ice. But I think you could use that for sort of horizontal transport. If you were riding around on a skateboard, no legs, you got your knife picks, your ice picks, you're ching 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 ching, and then I think you could probably really easily go from horizontal to just ice picking up a wall, you know?
On your skateboard. Yeah, I guess. Maybe.
I think if you've got a low center of gravity like that, you're strapped to that skateboard, you've got so much strength in your upper arms, I don't think you'd even notice when you were going vertically. You know, you just go straight up.
Would the wheels still connect into the upright of the skateboard?
Wheels connect into the upright skateboard.
Or you just, the skateboard now just hanging.
No, the skateboard is strapped to your stump
yes.
at the bottom of you there. So when you're going up, you're still rolling up the wall.
You're rolling up the wall,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
See, I think this would be a great thing. So let's say something happens where most of the people in the city, country you're living in, kind of get wiped out via something.
Sure.
Some kind of violent explosion.
Maybe it's a leg disease.
Eh?
Is it a leg disease that takes out all our legs?
Well, I feel maybe. It could be a leg disease. Sure. And so then somehow, some way, once it's destroyed your legs, you actually are one of the few people who survive.
Yeah.
Right? And now what would be great is that there'll be dead bodies everywhere.
That will be great.
Yeah, okay?
Yes.
And so you've devised this thing. You've got yourself some ice picks, right? And suddenly, all these dead bodies everywhere. Obviously, that's going to stink. But it means that lots of rodents are going to have lots of food.
They'll probably grow real big.
They'll probably grow really big, and there'll be lots of food around, and so they'll breed very quickly. So within about a month or 2 months, there are going to be rodents everywhere, which is perfect for you. If you can survive that month, suddenly you're on rolling, and there's rodents running all the way around. You know, they now own this place. And you've got these ice picks. That's the perfect thing for picking off rodents so that you can make something for you to eat. And so now you're in the perfect ecosystem for survival. Because you've got dead bodies, which are, you know, perfect meal for the things that you want to eat that are all around you as well now.
Yeah.
And that stops you having to directly eat the dead bodies.
Exactly.
Mm.
But you sort of
that is an important, one degree of separation from eating the dead bodies. Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Like you
can justify that.
You're in this situation. Corpses everywhere. You want to eat the corpses, but you feel bad about it. You just got to hold on long enough until something starts to live off the corpses, and then you eat that.
Yeah.
You thrive on the rats or the vultures.
And then the other skateboard people who are left,
mm.
who did survive, right? All these people who have the same weird gene mutation that stops the the leg disease from killing you completely and just stops when you... they're on their skateboards with their ice picks, but they judge the people who only eat the rats and don't eat the corpses as well. And that's sort of the way that people judge vegans.
Yeah.
You know? So now we, people judge vegans. They're like, you think you're so much better than us.
And you don't eat the corpses, huh?
Or how do you know somebody only eats rats and not the corpses that are rotting around us? Well, they'll tell you.
Oh, don't worry. They'll tell you. I love it. I love this new future. It's great. It's a great dystopia you've come up with here. I like, as well, I think that we would try and install little curved ramps at the bottom of every right-angled surface, like on the edge of a building. So there's just a little curved ramp there so that when you are ice-picking along, so there's too many rats, right, you could just ice-pick up the edge of the building. You know, you run your little thing up there and you go up to safety and you sit on a ledge and you eat your rats and then you go back down again.
Yeah.
That actually sounds pretty fun.
Maybe there could be a fire on the top of each ledge like that.
Yeah, where you can cook your rats.
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep the fires burning.
Yeah, and then... cooks the rats.
I haven't seen this world depicted in popular culture, and it's hard to come up with new ones like this.
Yeah,
this one's
it's a bit post-apocalyptic. I gotta admit, it's a little bit, but it's not apocalypse. It's not the apocalypse. It's just a leg disease.
Yeah.
Right.
So don't. Yeah, stop it.
Have you eaten rat before?
Not before, no.
But I haven't. I haven't eaten rat. You would have eaten rat before, Al.
Yeah, I've eaten a little bit of rat.
What's it like?
It's like mouse.
Yeah.
It's not that dissimilar to mouse, really.
But a bit more of a sort of a full.
Yeah, it's a fuller flavor because I think they kind of get into sort of chemicals and stuff like that, and they don't mind that. So there's sort of, it's richer and it's.
I reckon that would be a really full flavor eating rat, like because you would get everything in there.
Yeah. Densely flavored.
Mm.
But then there'd also be that weird part where when you open it up, all its organs are in the same order and sort of same placement as the human organs as well. And then you'd be like, oh, this is a bit off. At least I'm not eating the bodies of my dead peers.
But those organs would be filled with human organs.
That's true. Yeah. But that separation, is key.
That's all you need.
And I'm really picturing the neighborhood that I live in when I'm picturing this place.
Oh, sure. I was picturing just the street outside the studio.
Well, I mean, that's also a neighborhood.
I was picturing New York City.
Really? Yeah. I see. That's good. Yeah. But also then you would suddenly, it would be a great, sketch for to teach people about the importance of accessibility.
Right.
You know, because at the moment people don't see it all the time, unless you're sort of really... getting in touch with what disability advocates and stuff like that are talking about, you're not really, as aware of how much a step causes problems for a person on a skateboard that doesn't have any legs and can't ollie,
Right.
And so I think, but also the steps, we will definitely be able to wear away at them with our ice picks.
Yeah, we're chipping.
Because you could just go, the footpath. Just go,
wailing.
That's why we won't be angry about everything that's happened. It's because we'll be getting a lot of our anger out on the sort of the ledges.
On the steps.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be angry. God, we'll be angry at every ledge. But the rest of the time.
But not at our peers.
Not at our peers, no. Except
even
for
when we take a long walk off a short one of them.
Mm.
A brief brevity. Brevity, she's a short peer. Brevity Short, that's her name.
Brevity Short.
Mm. Yeah. Sorry, I brought us back to Brevity Short.
No, that's okay.
Do we have three words from a?
Look, I think I just want one more before we.
You
go.
Always hold off, don't you?
Yeah.
Matt, you never let me get there.
You know how you have a beard on your face.
Yeah. Have
you ever thought of having a beard in a different part of your body?
Mid back beard.
Like either mid back or belly, like a belly beard. Is there ways of growing a belly beard?
I guess the transplanting technology seems to have come on.
But do you think
that
if you just
is
shaved?
Really interesting, right? Mm. Like we do hair transplants exclusively onto the areas where hair already grows.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. We take it from there and we put it up on the top of the head where you're balding. But you could use that. You could put that hair from anywhere to anywhere.
Yeah, you assume so, right? That's got to be a matter of time.
You could put it on your shoulders.
Your shoulders. Right. Beautiful, sort of mane hanging down like that.
Like a lion's mane. That'd be so good.
Like just growing downward on each side, like your shoulder is the top of a waterfall.
Like a baboon. You know those baboons with those great manes? I think, Yeah, because you'd sort of be wearing, it'd be like an ethical fur coat. Mm. You know, they wear, they used to, I know, you don't see them around as much anymore, but there's like a real elaborate fur coat, so you can grow your own.
Yeah, or you could, what about this? You got hair all sort of just in a strip down the underside of your arm, so it was like the tassels on those old cowboy shirts, but you could get them and they're hair, and you have them even when you're nude. You don't need the cowboy shirts.
That's cool.
It's a great alternative to tattoos, because people are doing tattoos all over their arms, but nobody's doing beautiful strips of full hair.
Mm. Like yeah, they'll be big at first, like summer music festivals.
Yes.
They're going topless there, just getting the hair tassels out.
Mm.
But eventually, obviously, fashion comes from the music festivals into the mainstream. Yes.
Yeah, people will get a full sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, get your eyebrows like replaced with like face hair, right? And then you have sort of basically just a curtain of hair, you know, with head hair, but where your eyebrows are, a curtain of hair that just hangs down in front of your eyes. And then you could sort of pull them back like little curtains, right? Have a little ponytail, or something, off to the one side. Yeah, yeah, side ponytail.
You could also go with more horse sort of face hair,
pubic hair,
and just like work them out like a brim of a hat. Yeah. So they'd stand out thick, sort of really horizontally, and just keep the water out of your eyes.
Get a real brim going.
Yeah, they'd be big for like tennis players and stuff like that.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about just like a long sort of mane of hair that sort of covers the buttock?
Oh, that's
like a Christian woman's like long
Christian woman.
A Christian woman's like we're talking long, like the exclusive locks, you know, like hair that goes from top to like her knees.
Is that a Christian thing?
I think that thing is like I think you need to have weird beliefs in order to feel like hair is important.
It's if you say God gave me this hair, I'm not going to cut it off.
Yeah, I'm not going to cut it.
And that's a Samson.
Me and my family spend hours brushing each other's hair every morning, kind of thing.
Because I grew up Christian.
Yeah,
and I don't remember any of this.
You don't remember like any sort of like very, sort of very like what's the opposite of like floozy?
Prudy?
Chaste.
Chaste. Like a very kind of chasty woman, very kind of proper, but then just got that little like crazy glint in their eye, like I really believe in Christianity,
right.
You know, that kind of thing.
And they wear a headband, sort of a blue headband around like that, and then just down. A long bit of hair at the back there.
So like that, beautifully brushed, but just covers the buttock for not humility. What's the other one? For
modesty.
Modesty.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's great. I think... Yeah.
I love it that we're in this scenario, you're not wearing any pants, but you still want to be modest.
Yeah.
And so you grow hair over your butt.
Well, this is for times where you're not wearing pants. In the shower.
Of course. Yeah. There are times.
Maybe getting changed. You know, there's those moments.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And God is always watching.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
And if he sees your bum...
He should be. Or she.
Or she. They're going to be horrified.
Yes.
You obviously grew up in quite a mainstream Christianity, though, I think.
Catholicism.
Like yeah, there you go. That's one of the mainstreams. You weren't in one of the. I think Al is referring to like a little sect or a cult or a division.
Yeah,
you know,
Catholicism's a big cult.
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. I guess
this is like one of the little ones where they're like, well, we can. There are enough people here for us to keep an eye on everybody's hair.
The Catholicism is sort of like the Dave Hughes or the Jerry Seinfeld of sort of Christianity sects.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like it really popped at some point.
Who's your comedian equivalent of this sect you're talking about?
This sect, I guess, obviously, it's kind of like a Paul F. Tompkins or something like that. You know, like pretty big in that it's around the world, it's international, but you know, it's distinct in how different it is, and it probably makes an effort to be different from what this mainstream thing, these things that have popped.
That's why he's got a mustache.
Yeah, he cares about hair and he dresses in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if he's doing that as much anymore. You reckon he is?
Oh, he used to be a real clothes horse, that guy.
Yeah.
Used to be a real clothes horse.
Real fancy man.
It's weird because he played a dog on a show about horses. So, is that ironic?
Yeah, that is ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting there, Matt. You're getting your head around irony.
It's been a long journey.
Yeah, I know. You're starting to finally get it, I think.
Because I was put off on the wrong track by Alanis Morissette in the 90s.
Yeah. I think
and
a lot of
it's been a long
people,
pathway back.
Yeah.
And then I think you've put yourself on a few wrong tracks. I tell you what, it's a very It's very much like a like the Amazon River here, and the you get lost on a lot of streams along the way.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's what's that book where it's set in on the Amazon, and is it set on the Amazon? Heart of Darkness, is that
no, that's the Congo. Heart of Darkness is in the Congo. It's probably the river.
But is that the Nile?
Not the Nile. No, it might be the Zambezi.
Could it be the Zambezi?
It could be.
I don't know.
You're on the Zambezi and you're getting stuck in little creeks, things like that. It's probably an anaconda.
What?
I think that anaconda is, there's like you then that saying that thing about the dog, that was an anaconda eating you.
Okay.
Yeah. So unfortunately in this Choose Your Own Adventure, you just died.
Yeah, I'm back to the start again.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so maybe, should we just try to get Matt to understand irony straight away? I don't really 100% understand it, but I would say it's something that is counter to its intended purpose.
Right.
Right?
Or where its intended purpose is concealed behind an appearance of the opposite, right? Like when you...
Well, that makes it clear.
Something is like, you know, it's set in some... it's a book, right? It's a novella, right? It's set in some town where everyone's having a really bad time, right? But it's called The Comedians, right? And it's about... That's ironic, you know? It's not good. People aren't actually happy. It's not a funny world, but we call them comedians. You know, it's like the Joker in Batman, you know? We call him the Joker, but it's not really funny. It's actually quite bad, what he's doing.
Right.
And that's ironic.
He's ironically named.
Yeah.
But he does like to joke.
That's true. Okay, bad example.
No.
But my example, see, was ironic.
Right.
So now
so
you know.
I think that's cleared things up for you. Now we've got three words from a listener. All right, so these three words today. Matt, do you know about this? About how we have a Patreon supporters and the people who give us $3 or more can give in
inspire
three words
sketch.
And inspire a sketch. And this is from Chris Gibson.
Chris.
From Galleon Studios.
Oh, Galleon Studios. Big supporters of ours on Twitter.
Huge.
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 And it seems to me like they do sort of maybe similar stuff to what Stupid Old Studios does, but somewhere in the UK, maybe
in
Scotland.
The United Kingdom, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure.
When at the time at which we're recording, it's the United Kingdom, but by the time this comes out later today, could have been a hard Brexit and the kingdom could have totally broken up.
Absolutely.
We don't know. So sorry if this is out of date.
Yeah, sorry about that whole...
Sorry if you're now part of the federated state of micro-Scotland.
Yeah.
That's where they're going to go if they break away. Not just Scotland.
And I just want
to be silly.
I just want to clarify for any Scottish people who do listen. Apparently, we do comment a lot on the harshness of the Scottish accent.
I think "we" is a strong word.
No, "we." It's us, and it's not just me who constantly. I am genuinely just so interested in the Scottish accent and how ancient it sounds. Mm. And when I say harsh. I do mean harsh.
Alistair, you're not managing, you're not dealing with this well.
I know, but I mean, like, but I think it's a thing of absolute beauty, and it is an artifact, and one of the greatest living, existing things from history, European history.
You were born in Scotland.
And I was born in Aberdeen.
So I can
say that.
You can say
that. Even though.
So it's like some old tree that's been around for 1,000 years. You marvel at its girth and the fact that it's managed to survive this long.
That's right.
Yeah.
Man, you know, despite, I think it's, but I still think it's incredible. I think it's one of the most amazing
Even though
things
you to... marvel at it, you still think it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for clarifying.
But it's also, it's not that hardy as it is harsh, right? Because it's lasted a long time in Scotland. But my family, the Stuarts, came from Scotland only 160
years ago. Don't you mean
the Mascherinis?
The Mascherinis came from Swiss Italy, of course, the border of Switzerland and Italy. But the Stuarts, they came from Perthshire in Scotland. And that was only 160 years ago. I don't have that at all anymore.
I've lost the accent.
The accent's gone. Almost entirely.
A mere 160 years later.
That's all it takes. Yeah. So
not much of an accent. Yeah.
If you think about it like
it's not,
that.
It's not all that long lasting.
Yeah. It's pretty it sort of
lasts like one generation of a person.
Yeah.
Like even maybe like 6 months or something like that. I don't know.
Are there any accents that you would then consider to be something like a sort of an invasive species, like a cane toad, where just a couple of words in a particular accent get dropped into the language in Brisbane, and then before you know it, everyone across the, you know, entire north of Australia is talking sort of like in a Yorkshire accent or something?
That'd be cool.
I think there is a little bit of that when you do have actually like Scottish people or English people or Irish people around other people.
Mm.
Everybody wants to go, "Ooh, now I'm talking like this."
Wait, that was
a mixture of all three accents. Oh, if you're wondering why.
That was beautiful. Are you going to be passing on your Canadian accent?
To my son?
To your next gen?
He's 3 and a half and he already corrects me on some of my pronunciation of things.
Wow.
No, Daddy, it's not. No.
What's your son's accent?
Hey, no, Daddy. And he does have a little bit of Canadian in there, but he's losing it. But also, like the people that he goes to daycare with, like the teachers there, are so multicultural, and so it's like none of them have a traditional. Maybe like one has a traditional Australian accent. So somehow he's picking up an Australian accent without spending time with almost any.
You do a great Australian accent. Maybe that's why.
Sometimes I do play.
Absolutely.
G'day, mate. Hey, Odie, come over here, mate. I'll just
fairly
rough you up.
I'm thinking of raising my child in character.
Yeah. as a character. All right. So Chris Gibson's Chris, who assures me that he is a man.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Did you seek that assurance from
No,
him?
Because I think his full name is Kristen.
Oh, right.
And so he was like, "But I am a man," and I think that was a very I appreciate.
Sounds like an impassioned speech.
Well, I think when people only see it written down, they go, "Please."
And especially a podcast like ours, which is so desperate for female listeners.
Yeah. I mean, but we are happy to have listeners with female names.
Oh my God! Yeah. I mean, that's good enough for me. That still shows up in the statistics, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
So. Three words from Chris Gibson. Are you ready for this? Tornado.
Mm.
Grenade.
Yes.
Circus.
Oh. They all feel in the same world to me.
It feels like already it's a thing.
Well, it already feels like it's a show.
Yeah, it does.
It's all very circular.
This I have never seen, right? But the idea of a tornado, which, tearing across, it must have happened. We've seen the movie Twister. Tornado tearing across the Midwest, right? Goes over a farm, picks up a bunch of cows, right? But what's to stop a tornado from going across like a munitions factory?
Yeah, Halliburton. Right?
Halliburton, exactly. The Twister is headed directly for Halliburton. What does it do? It picks up a whole lot of missiles and grenades and...
And then starts unpinning the grenades.
Well, I mean, it's about to happen. They're spinning around enough. Yeah. Those pins are coming out, right? And then now this weaponized tornado is heading towards Los Angeles, say. Now, if you haven't already called Dwayne The Rock Johnson, what are you doing? Get him on the line. Yeah, this is, you know.
And Dwayne is obviously, he's the conductor in a circus.
Yes. I mean,
he's currently whipping a lion.
Yeah, he'd be playing. He's playing a ringleader. And he's used to things going around and round in circles. See, this is exactly like in Armageddon, where Bruce Willis, he's got his team of people who are good at drilling or whatever. Am I thinking of the right film?
Yeah.
Or am I thinking of something else? See, and so that's why we've got to put the people who are good at drilling in space, not get people who are good at going into space.
No.
Because apparently it's harder to teach somebody to drill than it is to teach somebody to go into space. Mm. And so we've got Dwayne, he's already got the skills of controlling things that are going around in circles.
That's right. And so,
he knows it for dangerous things, lions.
Yeah, so somebody calls him up and he goes, "I'll be right there," like that. And he's standing on the back of two horses that. And he's whipping them and he's riding out towards
the Twister. Yeah.
I think in the preview clip, it would all come, it would go whoosh and they'd go to blackness. And then it would come
clip
off.
Exactly that sound you made just there.
It would come back up and he'd be standing, like it'd be a wide shot. He's in the center of it, real small in the center middle.
Mm.
center middle, bottom of the screen, and the weaponized tornado is coming at him, and he's just poking at it with a chair. And then it goes, boom, and it comes back down, coming soon.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Him, I'd see this movie.
Yeah. And yeah, so it's called like Tornadum. Weapon Tornado.
Weapon Tornado.
I mean, you can't fuck around with titles these days.
Weapon Tornado Circus as Ringleader. Versus Ringleader.
I tell you what, it's called Warnado.
Oh, yeah.
Warnado.
Yes. All right. Yeah. And they tried to get someone who was really good with weapons to deal with a tornado, but because things were going around and round, they got dizzy. Right? And much in the Armageddon principle, then they had to get kicked out and they had to get somebody who was already good at dealing with things going round without getting dizzy, Dwayne.
They first went to like children in a preschool who were spinning in circles, but they found that they
blew up too easily.
They blew up too easily. The tornado sucked them all in. They lost a lot of kids and wasted a couple of days.
Well, they're all now they're in the tornado.
So. Yeah, so now they're pulling out pins.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're part of the problem.
Mm. I wonder how long you could just be floating in that tornado.
Warnado, thank you.
Sorry, Warnado. Like, you know, getting picked up, like I understand that will be scary.
Yeah.
But there must be a point where you're flying and you're like,
this is
cool. Mm. This is cool. I am, wow.
Is there any way that science found a way to be in a tornado and control where it goes? Because you might be like, I'm hungry. Could we sweep past, you know, like a McDonald's or something?
Now, I would say that in Warnado, they would absolutely work this out, right? Because what is it? It's about flow of air pressure and that sort of thing. So all you'd need to do is somehow create, like, a low-pressure system here, maybe using, you know, they always do it by blowing something up or
whatever. And this tornado could do that.
And it sucks the tornado across over there and then over here, and, like, we're able to now manipulate it.
Could he just have, like, a big plate? Could he, like, you know, like, he's like, got, like, a giant novelty plate that he had for, like I said, a plate spinning thing, and he lays on the back of it in the middle of the tornado, and he can shift the way the wind goes, and so he can like tilt, tilt the flow of the air and make it go left by tilting right, and he could make it go right by tilting left.
And so now he steers the weaponized tornado directly into like the enemy. There's also an enemy.
Right.
It's also
it's
a
like
tornado.
Godzilla when Godzilla works for us, right? You know,
right.
Yeah. It's some rogue state, probably. Probably North some
Korea.
Terrorists.
North
some
Korea have
terrorists.
Come up with their own tornado.
Sure.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Oh, Hawaii, they're a rogue state.
Maybe by then.
Yeah. I guess they are a state quite a ways
state.
Away.
Yeah, or, you know, Wisconsin or something like that.
Oh, yeah, it'd be cool if it was one of the middle states.
Yeah.
What if
Tornado Alley?
Somehow, because you know how tornadoes go different directions in the northern and southern hemisphere. Maybe the way that they realize they can destroy this tornado is by crashing it into a tornado from the other hemisphere.
Oh, an equal
and
opposite
tornado. So he has to drive
tornado.
It across, you know, the Mexican border or something. Mm. And
that's Jean-Claude Van Damme's flying that one.
Yeah,
they can get them to meet up together. That's them on the plate.
They smash together and they. And then the tornadoes dissipate and the guys grab each other and hug each other.
And then they try and spin down. It was this old move that they used to do in the circus.
Oh, they used to work together in the circus and then one of them went to Mexico.
And they had this move where they would spin like, you know, those helicopter leaves that fall from maple trees?
Yes.
They go...
Everyone, there was always something like that.
It's like that. And then they go, or maybe they're both wearing squirrel suits like that. And then they lower themselves down like a sort of helicopter propeller and sort of go...
And they land.
It was beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. And people
and then
cheer.
They kiss.
They land back in the big top as well.
Oh, yeah. Or on top of the tent.
Of course.
And then they kind of start sliding off and go... like that.
And then
young apprentice has like one of the safety nets. He goes, gotcha, chief!
Yeah. Like that. And then maybe an elephant grabs the other one?
Yes, Van Damme.
And that elephant makes a sound like this.
I can't believe we just wrote an entire film. That was really easy.
Yeah. Warnado.
Warnado.
I really think it would be big. Snakes on a plane, big, so I reckon.
Yeah. Tornado on a plane.
Yeah, oh. We've already got the sequel.
Tornado in a plane. You know, you've already got tornado out of a plane. You've seen that.
I think there will be planes in this tornado, by the way. I think they will have picked up some fighter jets and that sort of thing. They'll be whipping around in there.
If you're whipping over Halliburton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really happy with that, everybody. All great right, well, work. Great so then, work. Well, then great
I'll, session. Just, I'll just run us through the sketch ideas.
Please.
We've got ye old uranium mine or uranium town.
Mm.
You know, back where you go there and you kind of relive what it would be like to work in the times when they mined uranium.
Well, maybe it's asbestos. Sorry to change the idea, well, but I mean, like look, asbestos, like we, because people are nostalgic for a time before we knew asbestos was bad for you.
Mm.
So you go there and they've got stuff that is a lot like asbestos, mm. but isn't toxic, or at least as far as we're aware, right, at this point. But now you can go back, because people used to say that kids would just throw it around. It was like fluffy stuff that was fun to play with, and you would dance around the asbestos. Sounds like such a
dance around the asbestos. I think maybe when we lost asbestos, white people lost their whole entire culture.
Yeah, that was the only thing that, you know, brought us together.
That was our connection to the land.
I think white asbestos is one of the kinds of asbestos. There's blue and there's white, I believe.
Mm.
And they're both bad. I think blue might be worse. Anyway, that was just an option.
Great. Well, I mean, I'm really into it.
Mm. It was the asbest of times. It was the worst of times.
This is going to sound asbestos. Oh, yeah, I never thought it's got the word best in it.
Mm, yeah, ironic. Matt, write that down.
Okay. I'll note that down. You don't have a pen. Approved.
No, yeah, well, you're just sort of pretending to do it on your hand.
Well, that's ironic.
Yeah.
Is it?
I don't know.
I think that could be ironic. I think that's closer than the dog horse thing. Then we've got.
But you know I'm being ironic when I'm saying I don't understand irony.
No, I don't know that.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that.
I'm not 100% sure you are.
Because if you don't understand irony, how would you know if you're being ironic if you didn't understand irony?
That's the irony.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's not irony.
It's like 10,000 spoons when all I need is a knife.
That feels
It's like 10,000 spoons and all I need is a working understanding of irony.
I've got 1700s town, which is a part of the you know, a city where
time travelers have
kind of congregated and they make their boiled cabbage and they're sort of here's where you can come and we'll injure your toe and you can get
our ancient medicines
or get an old style wound that kind of gets
festers,
leechings,
You can probably get leechings. You probably get whipped. Maybe you could get. Maybe there's even a king of that place, of that town.
Great.
You know?
Yeah.
Somebody who kind of controls everything and can have sex with your wife or husband.
If you want, that's one of your options. You can go there. That's part of the experience.
Yeah. Then we have the periodic table of Aussie names. So if we start making out the periodic table, we can see where the gaps are.
Charla.
That's a good, strong one. Do you think that's the hydrogen of the Aussie name? Yeah? What do you think?
I think so.
Marling? What about Marling?
What was significant about hydrogen being discovered?
Well, that's the number one, because it's the simplest one.
Right.
So it's still hard to discover because it's so reactive that it's always in a compound.
Yeah.
So we had to extract it from water, probably, to find it.
So, and hydrogen has got one proton?
Yes.
And one electron?
Yes.
Does it have a neutron?
Deuterium and tritium are different isotopes of hydrogen, which have still one proton, but can have one or two neutrons, I believe.
Right.
Slightly different versions.
So that's like Charla, see?
Yeah.
See how that's like Charla?
Yeah.
Because you can have Charla with different spellings. It can have one A or two A's.
Yeah.
You could do it with an A's. S. You could do it with a C.
Yeah. Different isotopes of the same name.
You could do with R without R. Maybe one with an H. Charla. Maybe two H's, maybe one double H and then no H at the other one.
Wow.
Yeah. Then we got, this is another periodic table of ways to do feminine superhero names. That was just a throwaway comment,
right.
But I thought that's a good way. You know, we could think of new ways of getting, and I think by doing that, we could also find ways of doing more sort of male superhero names. Like what about the idea of She-Hulk?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, She-Hulk man.
She-Hulk. I would love to read that as a comic book. Yeah. It's a male version of She-Hulk.
Yeah.
It's not he/She-Hulk, is it? He/she?
No.
So it's not an ambiguous non-binary Hulk.
No, it's he/She-Hulk.
Yeah, dash not slash.
He said, she said Hulk.
That's where when there's an argument, when there's something going wrong, he said, she said, Hulk is able to see the arguments truth. On both sides.
Yep.
It gets really ambivalent about the situation.
There was something really funny that Jack Drew sent to me, and it's exactly the kind of joke I love. It was something about, like, white Blackula. like some white version of Blackula. And I go, that's absolutely right up my alley. It's exactly what I want. Just in a way, it's a kind of ironic.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
If we've learned anything today, by the way, in the periodic table of Australian names, all the different columns represent different sounds, right, that the names can start with, and I reckon there's a whole column of sh ones.
Yeah.
So like Sheila and Sharla and Charlene and, you know, Shazza, they're all in the same column. Mm-hmm. And then you go to the next one, and that's men's names that start with B, like Barry and Bruce.
Brian.
Brian
Brown.
Brian Brown.
That's one word.
Yeah, Brian Brown Smith.
Yeah.
Then we got obviously skateboard rat existence, which is where the leg disease has killed a lot most people, except for some people who have a gene mutation which allows them to survive, and then they all get on skateboards, and then they use the meat hooks. What are they called? Ice picks to sort of drag themselves around.
Mm.
I picture them actually standing up. Sort of, you know, on their sort of.
Oh, for sure, me too.
Rather than laying down. But I think some people could lay down if they want, but I think you want to get your face away from the rats and lift that up off the ground.
You learn that day one.
Day one, yeah. Because it makes more sense to kind of lay on it and kind of paddle like you're going out for a surf.
You know, bodyboarding.
Yeah, bodyboarding or something like that. But you realize you got to get your face away from the rats because they're so used to nipping it at faces that now you can't afford to get your face down there. Anyway, and then you eat the rats, and not the things, but then there's a split between the people who eat the rats and those who eat the human decaying bodies.
And it's a satirical statement about veganism.
Yeah, exactly. It's mostly about veganism and accessibility. And then we've got hair transplants, and that's obviously allowing just finally moving hair transplants around. So it's the first company.
Feels like something we might have already come up with on the podcast once, but I feel like it was exciting enough to me today that it feels new. As well.
Well, we can find out from a listener.
You know who you are.
Yeah. I feel like I probably have covered the butt with something before, but...
Oh, yeah, you're always covering the butt.
You feel a deep shame about your butt.
No. I don't feel shame, actually, about it, but I don't show it to people, you know what I mean?
Mm. Right. That's just for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just for me. It's my little butt.
This one's just for me.
You're my little butt. And then there's the last one, which is Warnado, which is obviously an action film that we should totally be writing action films.
Mm.
I don't know why
they're fun.
Yeah.
So fun. Anything goes.
Anything.
No idea is too dumb. And
it feels like it's now so possible. Like CGI is at the point where you basically just say the name of a film and a computer makes all the graphics for you.
Exactly.
Using, you know, voice recognition and then some templates.
I think you could do it with a Google Home. Google Home, right? Thornado. And then it's just like
Thornado.
Yeah, and it's like he makes a spin-off of Thor where he's also, you know, he's
gonna happen.
He's fused with some wind god, and then
he kind of creates his own Thornado.
Yes.
Every time he swells his hammer.
No, I haven't watched any Thor.
If you looked up Marvel, if you Googled everything about Marvel, Thornado would already exist somewhere in the Marvel, you know, comic book universe.
Right. Okay.
I guarantee.
Like
it.
In a legit.
Yeah, it'd
Marvel
be somewhere published. In the canon.
Right. Yeah. Thornado.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you. Finally. Yes. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Matt Stewart. High five.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hope it was worth it for you for, you know, like being able to promote your show on our, you know, with our numbers, you know?
Yeah, it was good to be here to promote that.
Can we just mention it again? Matt Stewart, pretty dry? No, bone dry. I'm so sorry, I'm out of date.
No, Pretty Dry is the one you directed.
Yeah.
This one's called Bone Dry. Very different show.
Very different show, directed by Dave Warnocky.
That's right. Very similar title, very different show, but it's... Yeah, it's on at the Chinese Museum in Melbourne, and then in Sydney at the Sydney Comedy Festival next month.
Oh, that's something to look forward to.
3 nights only.
Great.
You got to go see that.
And hear Al, the way you like to do.
the way you like it, I will appear, maybe in multiple voices if it survives.
Well, I also do a show called Primates, another podcast, which both Alistair and Andy, together and separately, have been on multiple times.
Really fun podcast, one of my favourite podcasts.
And you can hear that.
To go on and to do. And one of the most recent episodes, I was just fantastic. Can't remember what it was, but God, it was good.
Oh,
I mean, they're all
you.
Good.
Well, listen to some
really
of the recent
time.
Ones.
Seren, really funny. And Fran's episode,
Fran's
really
so funny.
Fran's so
yeah,
funny.
Fran's
we
great.
All finished that one and we're like, is that? We all felt real weird. I didn't
edit
it at all.
That was about Bangers and Mash.
Yeah, that's right.
Really big part of my childhood. My God, I watched so much of that show and I hated every single time I saw it.
Yeah, there was a real sad... I don't know, what was it the scheduling that made it sad? Wasn't it really close to bedtime for little kids or something?
I don't think it was the context. I think it was just the show itself. Every time I watched it, I was like, this is so bad.
Dreary and...
Yeah, it was probably one of the first things that I realised as a child, like one of the first pieces of like media that I was like, oh, this isn't very good.
Yeah.
But it was that thing of like, this is my chance to watch cartoons. This is on the ABC. This is all I'm allowed to watch.
I think I felt
the exact
same.
And this is
what
I'm stuck with.
Yeah.
This garbage.
It was slow. For a four-minute show
slow.
That moved so slowly. We couldn't believe how long it took to get through that 4 minutes. Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Really bad.
Yeah, it was Fran Middleton, so funny.
Mm.
You should go see her show, the Sydney Comedy Festival.
I will.
Great.
Yeah. I love
Fran Solo.
Fran Solo.
Yeah.
One Woman Star Wars.
Yeah.
Check it out.
And you can find us on Twitter at 2inTank.
You can come and see us in Magma at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Yeah, please.
The show
do.
Has been going really well.
Really well.
And people seem to really love it, and we also really love it. We got some lovely feedback from comedians who we respect.
Yeah, we had one of the best comedians in the world at our
show. Oh, that's very
nice.
But
he laughed very loudly. It was Matt Stewart.
I was trying to keep it down. Your facial expression is so good. I've seen it twice, and it is so good.
Thanks so
as
much.
As everyone continually says. Must almost become boring to you.
It is, yeah. And so that's why we deliberately had a really bad show on Monday night.
Yeah, Sunday night.
Sunday
it was, night. Yeah. So, but it was, yeah, it's been really fun and it's, yeah, you got to help out that Andy can
do you
as
leave
well.
The best comedian, one of the best comedians in the world, do you leave that hanging so people are like, who was it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
that's
also,
great. So DM Al on Twitter.
It was you.
He'll tell you who it really was. No. It was me and one other.
Yeah.
And we
love
you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.